We're going to continue on the series on maturity, but I have a little surprise for you real quick. It's an old science fiction film that I think has an amazing spiritual parallel to what's really going on. It's interesting to me that sometimes Hollywood strikes on something that is really amazing, spiritually speaking. I remember this happening to me when I was taking a philosophy class from a Jewish non-believing professor, and he explained something about Socrates, and I stood up and I said, "That's just what Jesus did," of course. You know, he didn't like me saying that, but anyway, it was pretty interesting. But we, if you're born again, if you have accepted Jesus in your heart, if you have come to the understanding of who God is through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit has come, and he has begun to reveal to you the Word of God and the things of God, you have actually been awakened, and you now see things as they really are. The world will scoff at that, laugh at that, mock it, and say that you're just a nutcase. Indeed, in the rise of the USSR, they would take Christians and put them in mental asylums because they said they pray to somebody that's not there. They speak to somebody that doesn't exist. And that may come again. I don't know. But I do know that we know God if you're born again. We know Jesus. We know the Word. We understand spiritual truths that are eternal. And that's why when you're born again, you begin this journey of freedom that is amazing. But don't expect the world to give you kudos. Don't expect the world system to recognize you. The Bible says a prophet is not without honor except amongst his own family and friends. I got to experience that this past week in a real way, and it was real interesting. But it's okay. Once you start understanding that, it's not your word that you're defending. It's not your Christ. It's God and Christ and his word. We're identified with him. But don't ever be afraid to suffer for his name's sake. The Bible says in Timothy, anyone who wishes to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Persecuted. What does it mean to be persecuted? Ostracized, left out, defriended, unfriended. Don't get the contract. Don't get the job. Stay out of my life. I'm not talking to you. Those kinds of things. And indeed, persecution could get to the place even and has in history and will and still is happening all around the world and will come again even here. It gets physical. Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. And persecution can get to the place where it becomes your life is at stake. And that's okay, though, because Jesus said, don't fear him who can kill the body. Fear him who can kill both the body and the soul in eternal fire. That would be God. So let's look into your sermon notes, please, and follow along in our next session and final session on the spiritual growth series that I'm talking about, okay? In Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church there, says this, that, and I'm going to, on the dot, 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 I'll give you that. It says this, God has given us pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets to bring us to unity in the faith. He's given us these teachers and this background and, if you will, this Christian heritage. He's given it to us for a reason. It's to bring his people to unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, what is the knowledge of the Son of God? It is not what the world says about who Jesus is or who God is. It's what the Bible says. It's what God says. When you know who Jesus really is according to the Scriptures, he put it this way, whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures have said. So there's the qualifier. A lot of people say they believe in God, and they even say they believe in Jesus, but not according to this, not according to the Bible. They believe in a Jesus that they have made up of their own mind, or some superstitious cultural Jesus that they have made up. Paul the Apostle said one time, I fear that you are believing in some other Jesus. So if you want to know the true Jesus, read the Bible. Jesus said, I will send you the Spirit, and he will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit's main job is to open your eyes to see the real truth. So you will come into the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Once you have this understanding from God, from the Holy Spirit, from the Bible, you will arrive at maturity. Now, what is this thing called maturity? It is the ability to see things as they really are, not as you wish they would be, but as they really are. To see sin, to see Satan and his demonic activity, to see his resistance against the kingdom of God, even in loved ones that you may interact with on a daily basis. For example, the apostle Peter told Jesus when he told him, I'm going to Jerusalem, they will arrest me, they will scourge me, they will mock me, they will crucify me, I will be buried, on the third day I will rise. Peter, it says, took him aside and says, no, I'm not going to let you do that. And you know what Jesus said? What did he say? He didn't say, get behind me, Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. That's weird, don't you think? Jesus was able to see what was really going on. It wasn't Peter. It was somebody named Satan pulling the strings to try to stop Jesus from doing what had to be done. He had to go to the cross. He had to die for the sins of the world in order to bring reconciliation and salvation to a lost human race. Indeed, the Bible says this, that at the death of Christ, all things on earth and in heaven are reconciled by his death. So everything that is going to come in the new heavens and the new earth, we're going to look back and see that it was all dependent upon, pivots upon Jesus dying on the cross. So we'll become mature, where you'll be able to see that there's really spiritual powers behind the scenes all the time going on, trying to resist God and his Christ. And you and I are in it. Now, a lot of us, because we're in this life and stuff happens around us and we're reactionary to all this stuff, you know, somebody says this in the family or at work or your friend or your kid, or and you wonder, what's going on? You need to become mature, or you see what's really happening is a spiritual resistance against God, even in the life of the person that you love. It's a spiritual resistance. That's why Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan. It doesn't mean that he was calling Peter names. He saw what was really going on. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God isn't expecting you and I. I remember growing up in Catholicism. I'm not knocking Catholicism. That's not my job. But I grew up in it, okay? That's my experience. I grew up in it. But it seemed to me, as somebody who grew up in it, that you got good spiritually when you died and went into heaven. Then you got good spiritually. Right now, you're in this veil of tears and you just got to figure out how to survive. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that if you put into practice the things of God, if you listen to the teachings of the Lord in the Bible, you will have the abundant life now. You will experience maturity now. Maturity doesn't mean you'll be a saint and perfect and never make a mistake. Maturity means you're able to understand what's really happening in your life and where you are with God and in your family. So let's follow along. Here's the stages of maturity. We've already reviewed this in the past couple of sermons. Fathers, young men, and children. The Apostle John identifies these three stages of spiritual growth. Children, fathers, children, young men, fathers. Well, that's the way it is naturally in the physical world. A seed becomes a seedling, becomes a tree. Okay, everything develops that way. You're born as a baby, you grow into infancy, toddlerhood, young adulthood, and then eventually mature adulthood. So the goal spiritually is the same. God has placed this into the very creation itself. When you get born again, he wants you to move from just being a baby into something more. So we're reviewing this part, young men. I'm writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. So let's look. Young men have left infancy. A young adult is somebody who has moved beyond being a kid. They've put away their Barbie dolls. They've put away their little, you know, race cars and their Lego men and whatever else they played with. And they realize, okay, I'm not a little kid anymore. I'm going to take this to Goodwill, or maybe I'll keep it in a box and look at it for old time's sake or whatever, or give it to my kids or grandkids. But you're done playing with kid stuff. Now you're into young adulthood. You realize you have to step up and become responsible for yourself. You have to start working, paying bills, going to school, studying, all of those things that are indicative of growing up. When I was a child, this is 1 Corinthians 13, which a lot of ministers use when they talk about marriage, okay, and it's called the love chapter. But really the emphasis is, and the teaching is for the church, not just for couples at marriages. The church is to understand what agape love really is. Keeps no record of wrong, goes the extra mile, always hopes, always perseveres. But in this chapter, he also says this, when I was a child, it's a metaphor, it's a way of teaching spiritual truth. When I was a child, I talked like a child. Mama, mama, da, da, da. Okay. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, and that word means when I matured, I put childish ways, what? Behind me. A lot of people are stuck, even in, let's say, even apart from spiritual truth, they're stuck in infancy, even though they have adult bodies. They still haven't grown up. They're still acting like kids. Tell you the truth, a lot of adults act worse than kids, I've seen. I've seen many kids act better than adults. So what does it mean to leave infancy? It means to recognize I've got to get responsible and grow up. I need to start doing things that mean that I am responsible and mature. I put childish ways behind me. I stop throwing temper tantrums. I stop me, me, me. It's all about me. I stop just eating milk. I am growing up. I am becoming responsible. Our whole culture is having a crisis in this issue of who's responsible for what. America had become a great, great nation. You'll hear me preach about this when I speak about the Christian heritage of not just this country, but the heritage that began when Jesus came and taught the disciples, who became the apostles, who influenced the Roman Empire, which became modern Europe and had its golden age and has since fallen into decay, and America is right on its tail. We're about to fall into decay too, because we're abandoning everything that was our heritage as Christians. We're abandoning it, and we're seeing the results of it in our culture. And we will continue to see it not just in our culture, but in our personal lives, in our economics, in our families, in our friendship circles, in our neighborhoods. And you say, well, that sounds like a prophet of doom. Not at all. It's simply that the Bible is being followed as a script. Jesus said exactly what was going to happen towards the end of time. Everything was going to continue to corrupt, 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 and become eventually so corrupted that God will have to come back. Now, I put childish ways behind me. All of that doom and gloom to say this: in the midst of all of the darkness, in the midst of all of the dissolution of culture all around us, and the compromise of Christian truth, even inside of the churches, in the midst of that, I, as a Christian, like Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any one person hears my voice, I will come in and I will live with you. So it has nothing to do with a religion, a denomination, a church. It has to do with individuals. You and I are asked by God to let him come in, and he will live in you, and you will be able to live a life of spiritual power and abundance in the midst of all of this chaos. The prophet Daniel said this: my wise ones will shine like the stars at the end of time. So no matter what's happening all around you, you don't have to let it carry you off as a flood. You can stand for truth, for righteousness, for God, for Christ, and you can still do well, and you can still have an excellent life. It's not all gloom and doom for those who follow God. It's glory. Now watch. Spiritual strength matures. If you want to have spiritual strength, it will mature as God's word is established in your heart. You must allow the word of God to be established in you. And what I mean by that, what the scriptures mean by this, is to allow the Bible to become the guide for your life, to allow the teachings of God in the Bible and all of the prophets and all of the teachings of the whole scriptures from Genesis to Revelation to be a complete foundation that you lay your life on, okay? Now, we live in a culture that has said, nope, we don't want that. We disagree with that. That's old hat. Throw it out the door. We're in a new age. We don't want to listen to this. We got to get rid of it. And that's what our whole culture is designed to do, to exist without God, to exist without the Word of God, to exist and to prosper as if there's no God. But look what the Apostle John says here about young men. I am writing to you, young men, this next stage of spiritual growth. They've left infancy. Because you have overcome the evil one. Ah, so who is this evil one? What is this evil one? I write to you, young men, he repeats it again later on in the same passage, because you are strong. How did they get strong? Because the word of God lives in you. Remember, we went over this concerning spiritual infancy. The Bible is compared to milk at first. You take it in like a baby, and you start taking it in, and it causes you to become strong, and then you begin to get stronger physically. If you're a baby, you get teeth, you are able to feed yourself. My daughter told me told my wife the other day that little Grace, our one-year-old granddaughter, she doesn't want anyone to feed her anymore. She wants to feed herself. Isn't that cool? That's a neat thing. That's indicative of her starting to grow up. She got teeth. She's able to pick up food, put it in her own mouth. She doesn't need us to put it in her mouth. You guys get this picture? So God gives you spiritual strength when you take the word of God and begin to develop. You have overcome the evil one. How do you overcome Satan? How do you overcome all of the evil that's in this world? It's by becoming strong in this. That's how. That's the only way. There is no other way. No one can become strong, spiritually speaking, outside of the word of God. That's why Jesus said, whoever believes in me, according to the scriptures, out of your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. It's according to the scriptures. Now, we live in a culture that says, don't believe that, don't believe that, don't believe that. And we haven't even have Christians who think, well, you know, maybe the Bible's wrong about that. Maybe I should not think that about this or that, that the culture says is okay. No. I had to write this to a family member. I said, I am a teacher of the word of God. I am a Christian, and I have no right to compromise the Bible for a loved one, for a mother, for a sister, for a niece, for a nephew, for a son, for a grandchild. I don't have the right to compromise the word of God for you. I don't. I could do it. Oh, I love my loved one so much that it's okay. No matter what they're living like, I'll just have to agree with it because they're living against what the Bible says. I love them. I care about them, but I will not, I cannot, and I hope that I never will compromise the word of God, no matter who it is. No, the Bible says in the Old Testament, God told the Israelites, if one of your fellow Israelites comes up to you and says, let's go worship an idol, let's go sacrifice to this other god, he goes, you will be the first to bring him to the elders, and you will bring him and you will expose him and say, this person, even if it's your own son, your own wife, your own husband, you are to bring them forth and say, they told me that I should go worship another god. And in the Old Testament, it was for the Jewish people. It was a death penalty offense. You should read that in the gospel, the Levitical law. Now, we're not living in the Levitical law anymore. However, the principle remains. Many of your loved ones, many of your close associations, parents, uncles, aunts, friends, neighbors, etc., even people that are from your own body, the Bible says this, a prophet is not without honor except for his amongst his own family and friends. Don't expect that they're going to agree. They won't. It's just part and parcel of what we live. So if you're going to learn the things of the Lord, if you're going to become strong, the word of God must live in you. You must be established in the word of God. You cannot be shaken off of it. Even if you find something that you yourself wonder, I wonder if this is true. You know what I do? And I've been studying the Bible for a long, long time now. Okay? When I find something that seems to be contradictory, I say, you know what? Even if it seems to me humanly to be off, I know it's not. So the Word of God is perfect. Now you say, how could the Bible be perfect? It's written by a bunch of white guys, you see? Do you see what the enemy has done to sow against the Bible? It's not written by white guys. It's written by Jewish prophets. It's given to us by God and the Holy Spirit. But that's what the Bible says of itself. It's called the Word of God. It's not called anything else. It's not the Word of man. It's the Word of God. So you need to be strong in the Word of God. The way you can get strong against the sins of this world, not just the typical everyday sins that we all see all around us, you know, drug addiction, alcoholism, all of the dissolution that we see, but much more than that. It goes deeper than that. If you want to be freed from that stuff, get into the Word, get strong in it, and you will become spiritually able to really, really operate. Now watch. Overcoming Satan, to overcome him, how did these young men, you young men have overcome the evil one? How did they do it? Through the Word of God, it lives in them. So they overcome the evil one by knowing sound doctrine. Now look, the Bible has a lot of information in it, okay? And there's a whole bunch of people who have misinterpreted and reinterpreted the Bible to the effect that it's Jesus said to the Pharisees, you've nullified the word of God by your human traditions. So there's everybody says this, says that. There's all kinds of different opinions and slants and angles on the Bible. So what do you do? How do I overcome this? Well, you've got to come to the place where you say, okay, God, I will believe you above any man, above any teacher, I will believe you. Look what it says here. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Do you know who that's written to? To a pastor. The Apostle Paul is writing to a pastor, and he's saying, you need to keep studying the Word of God to show yourself approved by God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I am not ashamed to stand for what it says in this scripture. I'm not ashamed to say that thou must honor thy father and thy mother so that it may go well with thee and you may live a long life on this earth. Oh yeah, but you don't know. My dad this, my mom this. Doesn't matter. There are no qualifiers for this. That promise is the first promise it says. That's the first command in the Bible with a promise. And the promise is, if you do this, I will do this. If you honor those who brought you into this world, yeah, but you don't know them. I don't. It doesn't matter if I don't know them. I know the truth of God, and the truth of God says that God brought you into this world through those two people. You must honor them. Yeah, but I don't like them, and they did all this stuff to me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Honor them anyway. Let God deal with whatever failures they have. You honor them, God will honor you. Because if you cannot honor your own family, how can you honor God? You cannot. So study to show yourself approved unto God. Get into the Word of truth. Rightly divide the Word of truth. How do you rightly divide this word? Jesus said that in the new covenant, you will take from the old and the new and you will give it to the people. We rightly divide it. We show the people the truths of God, no matter how far the culture has moved off of it. Now watch. Spiritual war concerns the battle of ideology. Look at what it says here in Timothy. In the last days, the Spirit says expressly that in the last days, some, actually it's many, will depart from the faith. That means they once used to be, I'm a Christian, but they departed from it. How? How did they depart from the faith? They listened, they gave heed, they listened to seducing spirit. What is a seducing spirit? What is it to be seduced? It means to be tricked into something. And they listened to doctrines of devils. So when I say here that young men overcame Satan by knowing sound doctrine, you know the word, you know what it teaches about God, about sin, about heaven, about hell, about life, about afterlife, about marriage, about friendship, about health, about what's right and what's wrong, about ethics, about morals. I could go on and on and on. Once you get that down and you know sound doctrine, then you can overcome Satan. Watch. This ideology, what do I mean when I say ideology? Ideology is the belief systems of everything. It's not just religious. It's not just religious. It's everything. Like I showed you that clip. It's everywhere. It's in the church. It's in politics. It's in taxes. It's in economics. It's in family relationships. It's in friendships. It's in everything. What is your ideology? What is your understanding of truth in any field that there is? Science, biology, mathematics, economics, etc., etc. What is it? Are you going to listen to seducing spirits and doctrines and devils, or are you going to listen to what God says? It's up to you. Now watch. Satan operates in false belief systems. That's his major operating theater, if you will. It is the war theater of Satan. Now watch. I'm going to read you something. 99% of Satan's activity is in false religious systems. He is a liar and a deceiver. He works in false systems, the false ideologies of this world. Don't blame Satan for your sin. Don't blame Satan for what your flesh does. You don't sin because Satan is after you. You sin because lust conceives in your own heart, James 1:14 says. You sin because of the lust of your own flesh, because you walk in the flesh. Read Galatians 5:19 and 21. The works of the flesh are, and it goes on. So what is Satan's main attack? It is in the area of false ideology and thinking and systems. Watch what Jesus, if anyone would know who Satan really is, we mention the word Satan and people get scared. Oh, no, I'm afraid of that. There's no fear concerning this. Once you know truth, when Jesus says the truth will set you free, that's what he meant. What's really behind all of the drug addiction? What's really behind all of the dissolution of all the morals and ethics of this world and all the alcoholism, all of the violence and hatred and all of the sick stuff going on in our culture? What's really behind it? Jesus tells us He was a murderer from the beginning. Okay, so let's define what's a murderer. Someone who takes a life that is not his or hers to take. So what does Lucifer do? He tries to destroy you. He tries to take life from you. So he is a murderer. Not holding to truth, what does that mean? He doesn't agree with anything truthful. He told Adam and Eve, did God really say that? He's always, when he became a demon and he fell from being an angel, he began to question God's word. So he doesn't hold to anything God says. He doesn't believe that what God says is his word. He goes against it. There is no truth in him. He himself is self-deceived. He cannot believe in the truth because he has no truth at all. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That means that all false religious systems, false political systems, false ideological systems, anything that is in this world that is against God, against Christ, it had its origin in the mind of Lucifer. He is the one that began every false lie. Where did we come from? Oh, we just poofed from nothingness into this. Like Stephen Hawking said, oh, it's the theory of everything. We came from nothing. Where did that thought come from? Because the Bible says we came from God. There is no God. Where does that thought come from? Oh, we came from flying saucers. Where does that teaching come from? Not the Bible. The Bible never says we come from flying saucers. We came from God. Yet because I tell you the truth, this is Jesus speaking, he came to earth and he said, I came, I told you truth and you won't believe. Jesus said this, if they hated me, they'll hate you. If you stand for truth, if you proclaim truth, don't expect that the world is going to believe you. The people that believe the truth of God are the sheep of God. My sheep hear my voice, they follow me. They're the ones that follow the truth of God. The non-believing world, they will not follow him. They will not listen to him. They will not submit to him. They will not place themselves under his authority because they don't believe that he has the authority to be submitted to. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians. Satan himself masquerades. What's a masquerade? Put on a mask. Put on a uniform. A costume. Pretend to be something that you're not. What does he masquerade as? An angel. An angel of light. So all of the false religions, all of the false ideologies, all of the false solutions for world problems, they're coming from him. He masquerades as an angel of light, something good, something nice, something wonderful. Oh, all of this wonderful spiritual stuff. Because he used to be an angel. That's why he can masquerade as one. He used to be in the presence of God. You need to read the scriptures that talk about this. There were three archangels, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Lucifer became the devil. So one-third of the angels followed his lead. Seems to indicate that each angel has charge over one-third of the angels. Satan commands all worldly anti-God systems. Everything in this world that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible, it comes from him. He is like a great orchestra leader, a great puppet master pulling the strings of everything, not just paganism and neo-paganism or false religions, but false politics, false economics, false political systems. It's all coming from him. The devil led him up to a high place, him being Jesus. This is the temptation of Jesus when he came to earth, fully human. He was allowed to be subjected to the full temptation force of Satan personally. No other human being that I've ever read about in the Bible has had that. The devil personally took charge of trying to trip Jesus up. He led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. Now that's an amazing statement. He showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. That means everything that existed and everything that would exist, all of their glory, it says in one of the other scripture passages. He showed Jesus everything. You came to save this world. I'll show it to you all. And I'll give it to you. He said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. You want to save them? You want to be the king of this world? Okay, I'll let you have it. It's been given to me. Now remember, what did Jesus say about him? He's a liar. Where in the scriptures does it ever say that it was given to Satan? The Bible says about the world that it was given to Adam and Eve. He gave us this world. He usurped it. He took it away from us. He's a trickster. It hasn't been given to him. thieves often think people who do a robbery and they steal something and they have it in their, oh, it's mine. It's not theirs. They stole it. It isn't his. I can give it to anyone I want to, he says. So if you, here's the caveat, if you worship me, just bow the knee to me, it'll all be yours. I'll let you have anything you want. Just worship me. Don't worship God. Worship me. And Jesus' answer, it is written. How do you answer Satan? With the Bible, with the Bible, with the Bible. He knows the Bible. You must know the Bible. It is written, worship the Lord and serve him only. It is written, honor thy father and thy mother. No exceptions, no what ifs, no buts. Why? Because God said it, that's why. That's enough for me. And so I'll stand on that even if I get thrown out of a wedding. It happened to me. I got thrown out of doing a wedding because I told the bride and groom, you must honor dad. And they didn't want him there. And I said, you can't do that. He's the dad. He must be there. Oh, no, I don't want him. I say, okay. Then if you don't want him, you don't want me. I will stand on that because I will not dishonor somebody else's position just to make somebody else feel like they're happy. No thanks, even if it's a family member. So Satan commands all worldly anti-God systems. Now watch. Look what it says here in Psalms 2. This truth is in the scriptures everywhere. But in Psalms 2, it's right there in the forefront. Why do the nations, that means all of the systems of the world, conspire and the peoples plot in vain? That is as if to say that there is an actual kind of a collusion. We talk about collusion in today's political environment. There's a collusion worldwide. And what is this collusion? The kings of the earth, the political leaders of this world, they take their stand, and the rulers, they gather together against what? Against who? Against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains and throw off their fetters. What's this spiritual battle all about? We don't want God, and we don't want Jesus, and we don't want the teaching of his Jesus in our lives. We want to throw it off. We don't want to listen to it. We don't want to submit to it. Our government has nothing to do with it. Our social policy has nothing to do with it. Our economics, nothing to do with it. Stay out of our stuff, God. You guys stay in your own four walls, but don't tell us anything. Oh, really? Because if you keep on reading Psalms, it says this, he who sits in heaven laughs. Ha! Because he's the one that owns it all. False religions spoil God's people. How? Through cultural and intellectual peer pressure. Why do we do, or why do you dress the way you dress? Why do you cut your hair the way you cut your hair? Why, you know, 1,000 years ago, men had beards like this. Nowadays, it's coming back. I mean, why do we do the things we do? It's peer pressure, that's why. Cultural and family peer pressure. Now watch. This is a little snapshot back into Israel. And this is talked about all over the scriptures in the prophets and kings and 2 Kings. It talks about in Chronicles about Israel's failure to adhere to God. It says they, Israel, in the Old Testament, they mingled amongst the heathen. What's the word heathen? Heathen were the people that didn't worship God, didn't believe in God, didn't follow God, didn't listen to God's prophets and God's teachings. So what did they do? They mingled with it. You and I, Jesus said this, they are in the world, but they're not supposed to be of the world. Okay, we're in this world, but we're not supposed to let this world mingle with us so that we become so watered down that we don't believe anything anymore. They mingled with the heathen and they learned their works, their ways, their lifestyles. They served their idols in order to get along with them. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. So people say, okay, you know, I'm in this world. To get along in this world, I got to act like them. It was a snare unto them. It was a snare unto the people of God. It was, the word snare is a trap. They got themselves in a trap and they couldn't get out. They sacrificed their own sons and daughters unto what? Devils. So false religions spoil God's people through peer pressure. And that peer pressure is all around us. It is cultural. It is family. It is political. It is economical. It is religious. It is spiritual. There is a peer pressure that wants to keep you from giving a full-hearted, if you will, allegiance to God and his word. Keep on going. False belief systems are actually satanic. They are satanic. I don't care what denomination it is. Once it rejects the Bible and Jesus Christ, it is no longer from God. It can call itself church. It can even have it in its business cards. I'm this kind of church. If you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Bible, church or not, it is satanic. Sacrifices of pagans are offered unto demons, not to God, says the Apostle Paul to the Greeks. This was a question that they wrote him about. Should I eat meat that's been sacrificed to an idol? And Paul the Apostle says, the sacrifice that they're doing is a sacrifice often offered to a demon. They don't know it, but that's what's really behind false religion. Demons, not God. I don't want you to be participating with demons. So all false belief systems, and I say systems because you might think that this is just religious stuff, right? It's not. It's paganism. It's old paganism. No, it's everything. It's all false belief systems. It's false philosophies. It's false political belief systems. It's false economical systems. I'll try to prove this, okay? The characteristics of a young man in the spiritual maturity process is that they know the Word of God. The only way to really understand this stuff is to know the Word of God so that you can really see what's happening, what's really happening in this world. It's not just about you and your little Christian walk. It's about this magnitude of a warfare that is going on that reaches into heaven itself, where the demons fight against Michael and his angels, and Satan and his angels, it says in Revelation 16, fight against them. Anyone who lives on milk is still a baby and knows nothing about right teaching. If all you care about is just getting your sins forgiven and Jesus loves me, this I know, and that's all you care about, and that's all I care about, and that's what I'm going to do, then you'll never understand right teaching, because he wants you to move from babyhood into maturity, where you're understanding how to take the Word of God even into a real life situation where there's something going on that is greater than just the issue happening right in front of you. Are they going to submit to the Word of God or are they not? Anyone who lives on milk is still a baby, knows nothing about right teaching. Solid food is for those who are grown up. My little grandbaby is eating the baby food now, little chunks of solid food now. She has little teeth now, my little grandbaby. They have put it into practice. Put what into practice? The teachings of the Bible. So you take the Bible and you understand the truths of forgiveness and Jesus' death on the cross, and you keep on moving. You start growing up. You start realizing, okay, how do I let this impact my marriage, my friendships, my business, my everyday comportment in life? That's why it says in the epistles, walk ye in a manner worthy of Christ. They have put it into practice in order to know the difference between good and evil. Why shouldn't I do this thing here? I think that that's one of the reasons we have so much trouble in our culture about drug addiction. They don't understand that what's really behind that isn't the physical thing. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. You don't do that because it's not just drugs. It's food, it's alcohol, it's sex, it's anything. If you do it to excess, it becomes your master. And Paul the Apostle said, I won't let anything master me. Instead, I make my body my slave. I buffet it. I tell my body what to do. I don't let my body tell me what to do. That's maturity. That's when you start understanding that you need to control your physical passions. Self-control, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. God has self-control. What if he didn't? What if God just lost his cool every day? We'd be riddled through with lightning bolts, right? God does not lose his cool every day. His wrath is stored up, the Bible reveals, and at the end of time, his wrath is going to be allowed to let go. And don't be there when that happens. That's why it says you are saved from the wrath of God. You and I are saved from one thing, the wrath of God. What is hell? Roland one time said, hell is the eternal existence of God's anger. And I thought, wow, that's an interesting way of seeing it. Because Roland is one of our longtime church attenders and members. And he struggles with things, but he said it's like being in God's anger forever. That would be hell. It would be hell to be a subject to the anger of God forever. You don't have to be. You can be in eternal bliss with the eternal blessing of God if you simply open your heart to his love and forgiveness. Now watch. Satan's weaponry. This is why you need to be in the Word. This is why in this maturity process you need to be in the Word. Why? Because Satan's weaponry consists of, he's got some spiritual power. No. It's false words, false teachings, false beliefs, false ideas, false philosophies, whatever you want to say. I could go on and on. Look what it says here in Revelation 12 about him. The serpent, this is the devil, cast out of his mouth. This is a metaphor picture of Lucifer. What comes out of his mouth? A flood. Water like a flood after the woman. This is picking up the story halfway. The woman is Israel. She gave birth to the child, the Christ. He was caught up into heaven. That's the resurrection, okay? So Israel is personified by this woman in this picture here, in this metaphor. So he sees this woman, Israel, and he goes after her. And this teacher that I love, his name is Marv Rosenthal, a converted Jewish man who is a teacher of the Bible, understands Hebrew and Greek excellently. Anyway, he said that this is actually anti-Semitic teaching, the flood of water that comes out of the mouth of the devil. It's to attack Israel. Why Israel? Why not any other people group? Why is it always the Jews? Why? Since the beginning of the Jewish people with Abraham, why have they always been maligned, mistreated, attacked, attempts at genocide against them? Since the beginning of time, why? All the way up to this current World War II and now this big, huge conflict in the world with Islam wanting to do away with Israel completely. Why? Why is that happening? Because of what they represent. Through them, the Apostle Paul said, came the promises, the prophets, the ordinances of God. Through them came Jesus Christ, and he said this when he came, salvation is of the Jews. Through them came everything that is good, everything that is blessing to the world. And even though many of them don't believe in Christ, God has still used the Jewish people through time and history to bring to us some of the greatest advancements in technology, in science, in astronomy, in music, in name the category. God uses the Jewish people for that. Now, it says this, there's an anti-Semitic attack against them. So he causes her to be carried away by the flood, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. What is that picture? It pictures the dispersion of the Jewish people. They had to run from here to here to here to here and read the history. They went to Russia, they got kicked out of Russia, kicked out of Poland, kicked out of England, kicked out of France, kicked out of Germany, kicked out of Spain, soon kicked out of America. Soon. The dragon was wroth with the woman, and that means angry. Angry at Israel. Okay, since I can't get at her, I'll still be angry at her, but I'm going to do this now. He went to make war with the remnant of her offspring, her seed. Well, who is the seed of Israel? Those who keep the commandments of God, having the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you say yes to Jesus, and if you hold to his word and his Bible and his Christ, then you have a big target on your back and on your front and on your head. Oh no, I don't want that. Sorry. It's real, man. Like that one man said, I can only offer you the truth. We're in a battle. And this battle is pitch. What I mean by pitch is there's bullets flying all around us all the time. They're spiritual. They're spiritual in nature. The devil's always trying to do something to keep somebody from coming to Christ. Always trying to do something to keep anyone who is with Christ from being effective for Christ. That's his weaponry. The Bible says about him at the end of time that when the Lord finally reveals him as for what and who he is, that the nations will actually say, is this the one that caused us to tremble? What? Why did we follow him? He's just an angel. His only power is to lie and deceive, and yet we follow him like if he's God. He is not. There is one God, creator of heaven and earth. Let's stand and read this together. If you want to move into spiritual maturity, then you need to get into the Word of God. And that means more than just a church service once a week. If you eat physically once a week, you'll get anemic and sick. You need to eat the Word of God every day. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching with all perseverance and supplication for all God's people. You guys didn't know that this past week I was under tremendous attack. It's okay. It happens all the time. If we're going to hold to the Word of God, if we're going to maintain a church in Santa Fe, New Mexico, which has gone completely haywire about the gospel, it's not going to be popular. We're not going to be recognized. We're probably going to be persecuted. Okay? Say, oh, no, it's okay. It's all right to die for Christ. I'm telling you. The reward for martyrdom is amazing. It's amazing. You and I don't know it yet. When you get into heaven, the Bible says this, I, John, saw under the altar all of the souls of those who had been beheaded for Christ. And they said, how long until you avenge our blood upon the earth? And it was given to them robes, and they were told to wait for a time until the rest of those who had to die the way they died, died. How do you like that one? Yeah, Jesus says in the Revelation, be ye faithful unto the death. Why? Because this world is never going to accept Christian belief and teaching. The only response that they have is to kill it. Either you accept it or you kill it. What's going to happen in the end of time? In the end of time, Jesus Christ will have to come back in order to stop the genocide of all believing flesh. That's why he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find any believing flesh anymore? Will he find faith upon the earth? Lord, we pray that you will find faith upon the earth, that we would be faithful unto you no matter what is going on around us, no matter if our precious loved one turns their back on you, no matter if our husband or our wife, our son, our daughter, our grandkid, our niece, our nephew, no matter if any of them say no to Jesus and no to God, that we would stay faithful unto you. That is our call. That is our task. In Jesus' name, amen.